Money FM 89.3, best of prime time.
You're listening to Primetime on Money FM 89.3. I'm Rachel Kelly. Now, we all know him as one of Singapore's most prominent property voices. He appears regularly in the media to share his views. Ismail Ghaffour is the founder and CEO of PropNex, which is one of Singapore's largest listed real estate agencies with over 10,000 real estate salespeople. But did you also know that many moons ago, Ismail started off from much humbler beginnings? He joins us now to share his stories and the lessons that he has learned. Ismail, thank you so much for joining us today.
Hi, Rachel. Yes, indeed, my pleasure. Yeah.
It's always good to have you with us, Ismail. Now, perhaps we can start at the very beginning. Some of us may be familiar with your profile and your background. You started off many moons ago. You worked as a newspaper boy, and then you went on to found Singapore's largest homegrown real estate agency. Your personal story, an inspiration to many. Can you tell us, how do you think those early days really shaped you?
I mean, certainly, as far as my childhood, I must say I was comfortable. We were provided for. But in terms of space, we don't have our own room, or because it is just in a rental flat. Five siblings, like sardines, we sleep on the living hall. In fact, to tell you the truth, Rachel, even my mom and dad don't have a room. It's just a curtain where they sleep, and while the five of us are just on the living hall. And that's how we grew up. But one of the key things here is what actually taught me here is this couple of things. As my dad is a migrant, he really worked hard as a news vendor. So for me, it got me in my brain a couple of things. Number one, we have to work hard, not only to survive, to bring the food on the table. And that was the role model I had. And number two, we have to be disciplined, because every day, 364 days in a year, I minus one because Boxing Day got no newspaper, 26 December. We wake up at 4 a.m. to deliver the newspapers to all the household. So we have to be disciplined. And obviously, we were a bit prudent because five brothers. Actually, thereafter, we had a sister. So we were six siblings together growing up. And these were some of the real values I learned.
And speaking of values and discipline, you also then later on went on to join the armed forces. So that coupled with your early life, how do you think all of this ties together to make you the professional that you are today?
I think the military was a huge plus in many areas. Number one is definitely from the perspective of leadership. That's definitely helped me hugely. And you know, military is all about organizational skill. And I was really fortunate, Rachel, to go to officer cadet school. And one of the key things I learned in officer cadet school here is this: for the first time, I realized that I'm good enough. Because among the peers, to be very honest, I only had O levels, and I was among all the A levels, and some were on scholarships, and they were really the finest of that cohort. And you know, always you tend to doubt, are you good enough? But the officer cadet school made me feel that I'm really good enough. And that inspired me to believe in myself. And that's very important. Regardless of wherever we are, whatever's our background, the minute that we started to believe that we are good enough, many things can be achieved. Obviously, the military have given me one other thing, that almost nothing is impossible. And I had a very joyful full-time career, a good 13 years in the armed forces. And after I left, I continued as a national serviceman. And that's where I had the opportunity for my leadership role as a battalion commander, brigade commander, and eventually as a division chief of staff. And all these things have given me huge amount of confidence the way I run my company.
And I think that's such an important point as well. We read today so many articles about imposter syndrome, where you go into an organization, you join a specific role, the role you may feel is above you, you're not worthy. It's a challenge for a lot of people these days. And some people perhaps give in, think, okay, maybe I'm not good enough. So it's important, as you say, to be confident and believe in yourself. What were some of the ways that your experience within the armed forces helped you to get that belief? Say, for example, for those who are joining us and listening into this interview that may be struggling with that self-confidence, with that self-doubt, how can they overcome that?
I think people will have to accept that each of us are unique in our own ways, and we got our own talents. For example, when I was giving an earlier example of the officer cadet school, obviously there were many other cadets or fellow soldiers together with me. They were so much more, their ability to communicate and articulate things were so much stronger because they have those foundations. But you know, from my newspaper business and as well as helping my dad in my provision shop, I was very good at my hands to tie a rope, to carry things. My EQ was, well, probably slightly better than many of them, I felt. Therefore, in a military operation, it is you don't only need thinkers, you also need people who are able to execute things. So you see, that's the thing. As far as I'm concerned here is the minute we know what is our self-worth, and then we think that we are good enough. And eventually when you look around and you say, hey, after all, you're good enough. And that's very important.
I love that message. And so from there though, Ismail, from newspaper, provision shop to the military, what then brought you to real estate?
I think the inspirations actually came here. It was imprinted in my mind, and it all started with a very good friend of mine, an army buddy actually. We took a bus, and the bus usually passed Kavanagh Road, going back to the army camp. And I probably was a young, maybe 21 years old. And he impressed upon me that his uncle sold a property along the stretch of Kavanagh Road and made $250,000 profits.
Which is a huge amount.
And that was in the early 1980s.
Wow.
I'm talking about 84, 85. Okay. I found that, how is this possible? In fact, it sounded to me a bit insane and even sinful. Why do I say that? I used to wake up early morning at 4 a.m. to deliver a newspaper, and what we earn is 4 cents per paper because it's 20 cents those days. And someone is able to make a profit of $250 million. And just that's by owning another real estate. And I said that maybe I would like to understand more about real estate. So I took it as a passion. And that was my hobby. While most of the weekends when I'm free, even when I was young, I and my wife used to go to almost most of the show flats. Actually, we don't have money. Neither are we capable of. And we used to even have free coffee and tea in some of the hotels. These are for international properties. So we eventually happen to have a huge amount of knowledge without money. That's how it all started. And the desire to break free, to have our very own home, because, you know, as I said, we grew up in a very small space and to have a better life. And that's inspired me to say that I think every person in their lifetime should be able to own their own home.
So how did you make that leap then from attending those seminars, from drinking that free coffee to eventually, you know, getting on the property ladder yourself and starting in the real estate business?
Yeah, I mean, it was definitely a very tough decision, Rachel, because the fact that maybe some of the listeners may knew, I actually was offered and I was a pensionable officer in the armed forces, which means to say after 8 years in the service, the organization felt that maybe I can be a career soldier. And I accepted that. And for me to break that pension was a huge decision, because actually, if I choose to remain in the armed forces, at the age of about 50 or 55, I would receive a lump sum of more than $1 million. So I decided to break after 13 years of service. In fact, my superior and bosses interviewed me and said, am I making the right decision? Because I decided to leave the armed forces at the age of 32. All I needed was to remain for 3 more years at least. Because at age of 35, I qualify for a scheme known as volunteer early release. And that is only if you cross age 35. And if I do that, I would get at least about $140,000 a lump sum. But I have to make a decision. And then I felt that, hey, I'm 32. And if I don't make this decision, it will just go into greater commitment and maybe I will never leave. And it was so painful. After I made a decision and gave notice for almost more than 6 months ahead of time, and I was so busy in the operational unit, and the day I left, 3 days later, I was hospitalized middle of the night for chest pain.
Oh no, is that because you were stressed by the situation, weighing up this risk and your life is about to change?
Not about, in fact, after I left, I mean, 1st July 1995, I walked out of the armed forces as free man. I think on the 3rd or 4th July 1995, I was hospitalized because of a chest pain. My wife rushed me because I felt breathless. I felt maybe palpitations. But actually, at the end of the day, I was stayed in the hospital for a couple of days and I was discharged. I'm perfectly normal and good. It was anxiety. It was stress. After staying in army for 13 good years, not knowing what am I going to do? Because I had no plans. Because I was in an active operational unit, Third Guards as an S3. So we were so occupied that I got no time to think. In fact, the day when I left on the 1st July 1995, Third Guards won as the best infantry unit on the SAF day. And that was my last day after serving the unit for 4 good years. So that being the case, I'm driven, but at the same time, I decided that it's a journey that I want to go. The only reason is not because I didn't like the army. There was an inner call within me that probably I could do something bigger out there as an entrepreneur, but not knowing how to start. So obviously some hard knocks, and I decided to go on the real estate path. 6 months down the road, started our very own real estate company named as Norris Consultants. Mm-hmm. The main reason being Norris Consultants is because my wife's name is Noraini, the fourth first letter, N-O-R, and my name, I-S, is Ismail, so it become Norris. I always knew when I was young, you always better give your better half all the initial credit so that you can run the company as effectively as possible. Yeah, not only that, it's because my wife left the forces. My wife was also from the armed forces for a good 12 years. She left the forces 1 year ago and she went into the real estate first. So that gave me a little bit confident that actually we can do this together.
We're speaking with Ismail Ghaffour, CEO and co-founder and founder of PropNex, on his personal journey. And Ismail, I'm going to be sure to remind my husband of that point as well in terms of the naming of your company and why it's so important to include your other half. Mm. But you mentioned some challenges along the way. What were some of the key issues that you faced in the early days?
I think obviously sometimes, because you know, when we started the company initially as a husband and wife team, wasn't so difficult because everything we can discuss over at home, over lunch, over breakfast, we are together. Mm-hmm. But the minute we decided to corporatize the company, and therefore we brought in a few other partners, and that was the formation of PropNex in year 2000, exactly 21 years ago. And at that time, I was so determined to have the economies of scale. So I was very, very obsessed that economies of scale is the only way to value add my people. And I brought in a couple of partners. Unfortunately, we were not aligned with our core values. And neither did I at that young age understood the importance of core values. And there were a huge amount of disagreement. And one of our partners, the biggest challenge I had, Rachel, it was literally a little bit of a nightmare. One of our partners, after 2 years of formation of PropNex, sent a press release to say severance of ties with PropNex. And they were one of our key group of people. And I, as a CEO, not aware of this thing. Journalists, media were calling me. We have received a press release that one of your partners have severed ties, and they've also taken up an advertisement to announce the severance. And as a CEO running more than at that time 3,000 over companies, how am I going to face the rest of the people that the ship is sinking? And I am not aware of these things. So just accept. I accepted it and quickly we reach out to the rest of the people and put them in an auditorium and we explain the situation. First and foremost, we came together is because of economies of scale and the economy wasn't so good. The seas were so rough. We were like small sampan boats. We came together so that we can tie the ropes. The base is broader and all of you were in the boat and it was my duty to sail you ashore to the land so that you can reach and see your loved ones. But unfortunately, out of that, one of our partners and their people were thinking the shore was elsewhere, where is their loved ones. It caused us a lot of frictions and it was delaying the process of our journey. So we wish them the very best. We let them go to where they want. I promise you as your leader, let us grow together and we will bring you to the destinations. And that was how we narrated a story and reach out and speak from the heart, telling that we have to accept this is a situation and people really supported us and we continue to grow.
And you continue to grow. You continue to expand overseas. You continue to list on the stock exchange here in Singapore. How was that journey to listing?
I think one of the key things here is this, Rachel, I'm truly blessed. And when I said I'm truly blessed, it's because of the people. The growth of PropNext is definitely not about Mr. Ismail. I won't accept that for sure. But I could be one of them, a catalyst to that, but not entirely Ismail. Because if you believe me, my PA is with me for more than 20 years. My COO joined me as a management trainee 18 years ago, and she's the COO of a main board listed company. My KEO is with me for 17 years. So all my staff are with me and they were young. If you can imagine as a management trainee, that was her first job in PropNext. So we all grew together in alignment of values, supporting, trusting. And that is the dynamics about PropNext. So that's why I said I'm truly blessed. And thereafter, I've been able to, after we went listing, I managed to attract a lot more people. And based on my previous experience, I'm looking for people who are truly aligned with our values.
And when you say values and that your staff have been with you for such a long period of time, what are some of the key attributes that you look for that you think breed success within professionals?
I think one of the key things here is some of my own simple philosophy and some of the things that I carry very close to my heart here is this: one should never be blinded by money or pray to money. And that's very, very dangerous because the minute you started to love money more than God or even on yourself, then you tend to cut corners and you tend to not be guided by your values. So what we need here is this, for me and for myself here is this, what is our core values? For PropNext, we've decided to have a simple acronym, C-A-R-E, CARE, but the CARE stands for C, for continuous improvement in everything we do, A is for autonomy and entrepreneurship of all my people, and R is for respect and concerns for everyone, and E is ethical conduct of our business with integrity and honesty. So this is something will not be compromised. These are sacred cow of the company as far as values are concerned. So whoever who join us, they have to toe the same line. And one of the key things here is this, I tend to accept things because sometimes they are not within your control. Because the more you expect something your way, chances are you're disappointed.
So when you meet potential, as you mentioned, management trainees, or you met them back in the day and you assessed, do you think it's clear as soon as you meet somebody, those personality traits are evident, you know straight away whether or not it's going to work?
No, not true, Rachel. Mm. I think we don't have that skill set, but we could evaluate, I think, DISC or some other methodologies that we put them through a process and more or less we narrow it down. But at the end of the day, when you put them into the fire, I mean, let me tell you, as I said, my first batch, that was about 18 years ago, we had 5 management trainees and only one made it through. So, and thereafter we had got subsequent batches. And right now I'm still having another management trainee who has just gone through the first 6 months. Mm. Hopefully she will also go through that. We are trying to create a steel out of a person in terms of values, in terms of what is the thinking behind, in terms of not only their loyalty, in their passion, in their commitment, in their desire to make a difference in the lives of others.
So do you think that, Ismail, so we get this question quite a lot, and that is, you've obviously had such a successful story. We've just spoken about your background, your history, and how you've grown and worked and built this property empire. Do you think it's still possible for the younger generation to do something like this? Do you think it's harder? Do you think it's easier for them to do so in the current day and age?
I think every generation will have their challenges. I think if you look at it my dad's generation had its own challenges. How I wish my dad had bought huge number of good class bungalows then, because it was so cheap. Or even if it is not, he just buy simple landed property and pass it on us, because those days the landed property, a bungalow on the eastern side, was merely $20,000 to $30,000 or $40,000. And today we are talking about $8 million and $10 million, and we are talking about 50 to 70 years. But why did my dad did not do that? He had his challenge. And I respect that. It was survival mode for them. And during my generation, it was still very tough for us. So if we made it through, some of us made it through, it's about believing in ourselves. And again, I must say, guided the Almighty and many things. Nobody can just take that I am the person who created that. That I think is a bit wrong. But having said that, challenges will always have. In fact, Rachel, surprisingly, I envy the younger generation. Why? You see, the reverse, you think the younger generation think people like us, the older generation, we had the opportunity, but we had our challenges. The younger generations in their outreach, either be TikTok or social media or Instagram, and they are able to make huge amount of fortunes. And you know, there's some very good business, even without mentioning a couple of them, they even create a net worth of $1 billion, and they are 30 over years old. So these opportunities are available for every generation, but one will have to just say that, am I up to it? And is that what I want? But at the end of the day, it is not about making all the money, Rachel. Happiness comes with what we have.
That's
happiness
right.
Comes with showing unconditional love to people around us.
Do you think so? Though, just to remind to property that it's possible to still make those kinds of profits from property here in Singapore in the longer term. I mean, looking at the cost, as you mentioned, your friend's uncle, $250,000 in the 1980s, to the cost of good class bungalows, freehold properties here in Singapore now, is that kind of growth still on the cards? I mean, we just saw cooling measures announced as well. Is it still possible to be so profitable from the property sector?
I think may not be at the same magnitude, Rachel, but it's still possible. Let me just give you a couple of examples. You see, even those young couple who are buying a BTO, which are hugely subsidized, you know, now right now the government have come out with all the prime locations with further restrictions and so on, because people do make a windfall. People who buy good location, even a HDB BTO, which is an fair entry to almost every Singaporean, at the end of the 5 years of MOP period, you may be able to make 100, 200, or even 300,000, which those days, HDB, you can't even make 20,000. As I said, the story of the uncle, who's my friend's uncle, who made 250,000, today HDB owners have been able to make that amount. But the value of 250,000 compared to then and now is usually different. Yep. So same and similarly, if you ask me, people who are able to upgrade to a landed property, you know, the landed property has gone up hugely just in the last 11 months. Yep. So I think there are opportunities, but one should not enter the real estate market in a speculative way. That is hugely risk. Whoever who entered the real estate market, they should be mindful that it is in a mid and a long-term game, and buying the right property at the right price without huge amount of emotions will make a difference.
Okay, Ismail. So I've got to ask you this question. Is there anything that you think you would have done differently?
You know, why I laughed here is this, I never give a thought about it. An honest truth here is the honest truth here is this, Rachel. I have to just give huge amount of gratitude to the Almighty and my parents, really, because I had such an amazing, joyful growth all my life. Because everything that I am determined to make things happen, though there are challenges, I won't say it is totally a smooth walk through, there were challenges, but I was blessed by guidance, by opportunity. Even if you say a bit of luck, I'm not going to take it away. If some viewers say, "Hiya, he was lucky," fair enough, fair enough. I accept. Because I will not say it is all about me. It was so many things. But something that helped me here is this. Along the way, I come to this realization. Why me? Why not someone else? Then that calling came upon me. Maybe the Almighty wanted me to make a difference in those people who come into contact with me. And that's why maybe I got 10,000 agents. So the day when Ismail's head swell and think he knows everything, then I think the Almighty may not need me and I may lose everything.
But don't you think it's part of your personality as well? As you mentioned, tenacity, grit, that confidence and ability to believe in yourself. Are these some of the key attributes you think are important when it comes to being successful? Knowing what you want, seeing your passion, going for it. I mean, as you mentioned, you left the armed forces. You had anxiety because it was going to be such a huge shift, but you still went for it and you believed in yourself. Do you think that is what's needed to be successful?
I think certainly, yes. I think definitely for each and every one of us, believe in ourselves, never look back. I think the problem here is sometimes we overthink. Sometimes nobody knows whether it's a right or wrong decision. Mm-hmm. But to me, I think what is most important is making decisions. A lot of people want to not make the decision and let the situation lead them to it. Mm-hmm. We can't do that. Yeah. So when you make a decision, we are wiring our brain to say, this is the way to go. And once you have made a decision, don't look back. The minutes when you keep looking back, it's difficult to win a race because your focus is not forward. So that's something that I've learned along the way. And I just hope and I wish each and everyone and to all the listeners, just believe and the guidance of grace and the Almighty will be there. And just walk confidently. You will face some hard knocks. Nobody will have a smooth throughout. But believe, stand up and let's achieve the destination we want to.
Wonderful. Well, Ismail, thank you so much for being so generous in your sharing with us today.
Indeed, my pleasure, Rachel.
Thank you. We've been speaking with Ismail Ghaffour, the CEO of PropNex. He's been sharing with us his personal growth stories and his thoughts on what it takes to succeed.
To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg or download our audio app. That's AWEDIO. Available on Google Play or the App Store.